I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening for our midweek prayer and Bible study. It's a blessing to have you with us, have you worship with us, sing with us, pray with us as a church. I've had a number of pastors reach out, ask, what are we doing for services? And I've explained what we're doing. They talk about what they're doing. And we're all doing the very best we can to minister to our congregations. So I'm very glad that you have chosen to join us this evening. We have folks who are going to come and minister to you in song. I have prepared for our Bible study, and we have prayer requests that folks have called in. So let's open up with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to turn it right over to our music folks. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I do pray that you be with us during this service. I ask that you would minister to our hearts. And Lord, we lift up before you this unique time that we're in, that this would soon resolve and we as a church could begin to gather back together. Lord, I pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, in our church, and really around the world, that you would comfort them and give them strength and courage as they face each day during this time. Lord, please be with those who are going to minister to us in song and me as I minister in your word, that we would be empowered by the Holy Ghost. And most importantly, we pray that you would minister to the hearts of the hearers, for it is through your power that you do the work that only you can do. In Christ's name I pray, amen. All right, at this time we're going to sing Bind Us Together, Lord, and Jesus Saves, and Ancient Words. So let's turn it right over.
Together, Lord.
you very much, Billy Joe, Jenny, and John. I'm very grateful for you ministering in song this evening. And just a couple quick announcements, not very much. I want to remind you that we are going to be doing on Memorial Day weekend, that Sunday night, May the 24th, that evening service, we're going to do a Singspiration. Now, we've never done this via live streaming. It's something we're hoping you will help us make a success. We're going to ask you to text John or myself with favorite hymns or praise songs that we can include in that. Also, we are asking folks who would like to participate. Maybe you would like to come in and do a special that we will include that evening. We would pre-record it and just insert it into that evening. Or you let me know. Maybe you'd like to read a scripture or do a poem that you've written, or it's your favorite poem that inspires you. I believe Brother Henry's already got a reading he's going to share with us that he's going to do as a recitation. So we'd love to have you participate in this Singspiration that's coming up on the 24th. Let us know so that you can be a part. Also, just again want to remind you, please be in prayer that we are wise as a church in how we're going to go about reopening once the governor includes churches. And so you pray for our leadership. I know they're loosening up retail stores and different things like that, but they are, for some reason, kind of bunching churches with big events. And so we need to pray for them to perceive churches in a different way than they are, so that we can begin to open up, yes, in stages and yes, complying in every way, but we need to see that come to pass as well in a good, sensible way. So pray with us about that, if you would. So at this moment, we're going to turn it right back to our praise team, and they're going to lead us in Leaning on the Everlasting Arms and Wonderful, Merciful Savior.
Your promise.
so much for all that great music. We appreciate those who minister to us in song so very much. And at this time, we're going to go right into our Bible study, because our midweek service always is a Bible study with a time of prayer. So it's our midweek prayer and Bible study. I'm asking you to turn with me to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, if you would. We've started a series through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and we want to continue with that. Tonight we are going to be in 1st Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to look down at verses 7 through 9 is our objective. Maybe make it a little bit farther along, but we're going to really look at those several verses and draw as much as we can from it that we might better understand what the Lord has for us in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So I'm going to read those verses for you. It says there in 1st Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7, 8, and 9. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto you, unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. As we look at these verses, we begin by recognizing that the apostle is writing to the church in Thessalonica. He's writing to them as God inspires him to pen these words, and he's coming to them to talk about his personal care of ministry. Him and Silas and Timothy, as you look in verse 1 in the text, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. So as we approach this text, we're looking there in verse 7, where Paul is writing about their ministry to them. And he starts off by saying to them, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. That's very interesting as we look at him talk about his gentle ministry. The word gentle is from the Greek word epios. It is from the root word epo, which simply means to speak something or say something in a gentle, kind way. And as we look at this, the idea of gentle in this particular verse is to communicate a message in a mild-mannered or kind and gentle way. As we come down in verse 7 there as well, though, I want you to notice the word, as we look at verse 7, for we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. That word cherisheth in the Old English, or cherish, as we would use today, that also comes from a Greek word thalpo, and it means to keep warm, to cherish with tender love, and to foster with tender care. So it's interesting that he has used these words, all introducing to us an idea of kindness, gentleness, a warmness, a nurturing, when he uses that word cherishing. So look with me again at verse 7 as he talks about this gentle ministry. He says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Now, when he says, as a nurse cherisheth her own children, he's talking about a nursing mother, that caring, nurturing, warm, cuddling, caring kind of individual. Now, he's talking to you and I about that ministering spirit. It's an interesting thing, whether you're a pastor ministering to others, or whether you're a person from the congregation ministering to a friend or a neighbor or a coworker, all of us should approach it with a gentleness, a kindness, a nurturing, cherishing kind of thing. Understanding that the people that we're ministering to, whether it be as a pastor or others, when we minister to them, we do it because we love them. We care about them. We want to help them in whatever situation or circumstance, even if it's just a broader perspective. of that they need Christ. They need salvation. And then after they receive Christ, they need to be helped along. They need to be discipled and nurtured along so that they can grow in their faith and find victory in their hearts. The true minister approaches people as a servant, not as a boss or a commander or as a lord, but as a servant. 2 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples or ensamples to the flock." So as we look at the scriptures, we understand that God is challenging us to be those who minister with a gentle, nurturing spirit towards those who are in need. In verse 8, I want you to see that the true minister is consumed with a desire to minister. It comes from the heart. And that's why he likens it unto a mother who's nurturing and nursing and caring for her child. Well, those who want to help and minister and care for others, they have to have that same kind of desire from within to do that very thing. Look with me at verse 8 again. It says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us." As we look at this, we see him say that being affectionately desirous of you. That's what I mean when I say a true minister is consumed with that desire to really care and nurture and minister to those around them. You and I, whether it be a Sunday school teacher or a junior church teacher, whether it be a deacon or a pastor or a youth director, whoever it may be, each of us has to have that inner passion. Soon I'm going to be reaching out to all those who work in our church in some area of ministry, and we're going to do a Zoom meeting. And I'm hoping as many as possible can figure out how to get on Zoom. We're going to set it up. We'll set up the time. You'll just have to link in. But we're going to talk about coming back and ministering. That's coming very soon, that meeting. Because I want to know who has that desire, that affectionate desire to come back and continue in that capacity when we return together. Paul and Silas and Timothy, they clearly had that kind of desire. Romans chapter 1 verse 11 says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." That's what Paul said to the church in Rome. He longed to get there to minister to them. These folks desperately needed truth. They needed the truth to set them free from the shackles of sin, that they might have the victory of salvation. And then they needed the truth to help them grow in their faith. Paul, Timothy, and Silas, you and me, we have a desire to minister to folks that they might find victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verses 21 through 24 say, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I'm from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Christ said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, if ye believe not that I am he." Ye shall die in your sins. Christ was burdened for these people. He didn't want them to die in their sins. He wanted them to find forgiveness, newness of life in Him. And so He is, with a great affectionate desire in His heart, reaching out and trying to minister to them. That is what the heart of a minister is all about. When you go back to verse 8 there, look with me, it says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us." It's interesting when he refers to his soul. The word soul is translated from the Greek word psuche. It refers to the breath of life within, the vital force which emanates, that animates the body and shows itself in the form of breathing. He's saying our very life and breath, our very soul is extended to you in ministry. He says, we wanted not only to give you the Word of God and the work of God, we wanted to give of our very selves. Our very soul is invested in this. You very much can see how that's likened unto a parent, isn't it? Parents give their very heart and soul to their children, don't they? That's how it should be when we minister to others. As we go a little bit farther down, I want you to look with me, if you would, to verse 9. He says, "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." So as we look here, we see the third of our points in these verses 7, 8, and 9. That third point being, ministry is work. When I minister, or when you minister to those around you at your house or in your neighborhood or among your family, it's work, isn't it? We have to make a conscientious choice and decision to reach out in care and invest in others' lives. Christ is our work model. He has shown us how that you do the work of ministry. And you do that by caring, by investing, by teaching, by nurturing, even mentoring. You do all those things as Christ enables you. Certainly, He gave us the example of it, didn't He? Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. Listen to this text. "For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." You see, the Lord teaches us, when we care for others, when we minister to others, all of us together, caring and nurturing and mentoring and discipling and winning souls to Christ, when we invest ourselves in others, God recognizes that as being done even as unto Him, allowing Him to do that work in us and through us. Yes, it is work, but it's work as unto the Lord. And I want to challenge you, be asking God, Lord, how can I do what Paul, Silas, and Timothy did? How can I do what you want me to do in the work of the ministry to others around me? Christ is that working model, yes. But ministry means hard work. Not philosophically or historically, but right here, in the now and now, we do what we can as we minister to others. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God wants you and I to work hard at ministering to others. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 26 says, as vinegar is to the teeth and as smoke is to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. Oh, he's saying to you and I, we should be industrious, doing the work of ministry for others, that the sluggard is an irritant to those who are looking for the work to get done. We don't ever want to be noted as lazy, sluggards, slackers, but we should be busy about what God would have us to do. I hope right now, as you are doing this stay home, stay safe time, whether now maybe your job is opening up a little bit or circumstances are changing a little bit in your life, please right now pray and ask God, God, help me to know how I can minister for you in the people's lives that I can touch. You've had this time to maybe draw closer to the Lord, spend time in His Word, maybe increase your prayer life. You should be well prepared to get out there and do the work of the Lord, to minister to your community and the people around you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 down through 13. Listen to what it says. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. So the apostle, as he writes in 2 Thessalonians to the church in Thessalonica, he's saying to them, I've heard some of you are really just gossiping and being busybodies into everybody else's lives instead of getting busy doing your own work with your own hands. And he challenges them. He says, don't be busybodies. Don't be butting into everybody else's business and gossiping about everybody else. But instead, do the work God's called you to do. Now, all of us are called to minister to others, not just the pastor. I am very happy to pick up my yoke and do my job. Absolutely, John and I, we work hard at the ministry and glad to do it. But ministry is about all of us. I was talking today to Diane Lepore through texting, and she said to me, she said, Pastor, I'm so grateful for our church family who have sent me notes and cards, who have called me and encouraged me, because Diane is going through breast cancer treatment right now. We're going to talk about that during our prayer requests. But people have been ministering to her. Isn't that wonderful? You and I all doing our part as we work for the Lord. Acts chapter 20, verses 33 through 35, it says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You and I, as we work hard at the Master's work, no matter what it is we do for a living, we are all serving our Lord. Look with me again at verse 9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preach unto you the gospel of God. I want to encourage you tonight in our Bible study. Be about the Master's business. Whether it's ministering to your children, to your spouse, to your neighbor, to your relative, to your coworker, to one another in the church family right now who are separated by space, but we should be yet still connected by spirit. I encourage you, be about the Master's business during this time. All right, we are going to go into our prayer requests at this time, and then we'll wrap up our evening service. Our prayer requests tonight are for Noreen Brace's mom, Anne. She, as we sent out a prayer request on email, if you're not on that email list for prayer requests, please call the church office and we gladly will add you to it. But she asked prayer for her mom because her mom has been sent back to the hospital again. Her mom is quite elderly and has underlying conditions. She had COVID. They treated her. They sent her home. Now she's back in the hospital. So please pray for Noreen's mom, Anne. Diane Lepore, as I just mentioned to you, she's going through her chemo treatments for breast cancer. Please pray for her. And I'm so proud of you as a church for reaching out and ministering. Please continue to do that. Barb Fairbrother, I talked to Gene last night. Barb is doing better. Her wound has started closing up where they had to cut her knee open and get all the infection out. It's closing up and healing. Continue to pray for Barb Fairbrother if you would. Susie Rivett, I talked to Susie the other day. She's still not well. Remember, she's got a battle with an infection in her ankle. She's got a hip replacement that needs to happen. She's been dealing with some other pretty serious health issues. Please pray for Susie. She just really needs to be encouraged and uplifted by the Lord. Henry Haskell's going in for surgery on the 20th of this month. He's going to have a sinus surgery. So pray for Henry. And then Joel Johnson, my brother-in-law, Sandy's brother, down in Texas, he delivers pizza, and he had finished his last delivery for the night, got out of his truck, was walking around to go in, and was attacked, and he was stabbed multiple times. Lots of the wounds were in his arms. They did stab him in the stomach and in the face. But he is recovering. He's going to be okay. But pray for him if you would. Of course, it's extremely traumatizing. Have somebody, two people attacked him with knives. They were not able to get the money, so they didn't successfully rob him of the night's revenue. But it's a horrible thing to have happen. So you pray for Joel Johnson if you would. And then John's mom in Indiana, John Kaufman, our music youth pastor, she is needing to move right in the middle of this COVID-19. Pray for her as she has to make this transition in her life, that it would all go well. Thank you so much for being a part of our midweek prayer and Bible study. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. I would ask you to do it, but I don't think we could hear you. Everybody would wonder why there was just all this dead air. So every week I'm doing it. One of these Wednesday nights I'm going to have to hook John up to the microphone and have him do the prayer part, because he's standing there at the camera running that, making sure that goes well. But tonight I'll do the prayer requests and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you so much for being with us this evening. Lord, I do lift up Noreen's mom, Anne. Please be with her as she recovers from complications of her illness. I ask that you'd give her strength and touch her body. Lord, we do also lift up before you Diane Lepore. Please continue to be with her as she battles breast cancer. Give wisdom to her doctors. And most of all, we ask for your healing hand to be upon her. We also lift up to you Barb. We're so thankful that her infection is clearing up. Her wound is closing. I ask that you be with her and Jean during this very difficult time. We also lift up before you Susie Rivett. She really is just battling multiple health issues. Please strengthen her and help her. She still is having to work to meet her obligations. Please help her to find a solution to this. But most of all, Lord, we need you to touch her with your healing hand that she might regain strength. We also lift up before you Henry as he goes in for this surgery on the 20th of this month. He has had so many complications with his sinuses. This is not even the first surgery he's had to have with this. I just ask that you would be with him, touch him, heal him, that he would find some satisfaction, some relief from the sinus difficulties he's had through the years. Lord, we also lift up to you Joel Johnson as he's had this horrible attack down in Texas. I ask that you would help him in his healing. Miraculously, they did not hit any major arteries or damage any major muscle groups. The doctor feels very encouraged that he's going to heal well. I pray, Lord, that you would be with him and help him to sense and know your presence. I know he loves you, Lord. He walks with you. Him and his wife worship. I pray that you would touch him and heal him. And last of all, Lord, I just pray that you be with John's mom, Debbie, in Indiana. Be with her as she's having to move. I ask that you would help all the circumstances to work out. It's a very difficult time to have to move during this COVID-19. And Lord, I know I said this would be the last, but I do need to lift up before you that we so need to see a vaccine. We need to see some treatment where this COVID-19 can be laid to rest. And our culture, our society, our community, our church could return to normal, Lord. We're looking to you to do a miracle. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.